Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you care, Cincinnati, a four-point favorite tonight at Northwest Field in Landover. Kickoff set for 8 o'clock. Starters will play for the Bengals, and starters will play for at least a bit. Not all starters, because not all starters are healthy or are ready to go because of a holdout in Terry's case. But Cincinnati, last week in their preseason opener, played their starters for a sizable amount of time compared to the rest of the league and had a 14-7 lead against Philadelphia at the end of the first quarter. They lost the game 34-27 for what it's worth. Not much. Tonight they come to Washington to play our team. Joining me right now is Ben Baby. Ben is the John Keim equivalent for ESPN. He covers the Bengals at Ben_Baby on X on Twitter. I'm assuming you're in town, although maybe you've got an afternoon flight. Are you here yet?
No. We take it easy during the preseason. We save our time. We hang, get a little extra time at home and get ready for that regular season. So I'll be watching, tracking things through our Next Gen Stats. Otherwise, I'd love to be in the greater, I believe the DMB is what we should officially say here.
Yeah. Well, did you say DMB or V?
DMV. I am a Dave Matthews Band fan, but it is the DMV, correct?
Okay, got you. Because remember, Bill Walton famously sort of included Baltimore and Delaware in his DMV description. Anyway, look, you know what? Preseason games, that's probably the right decision from a cost standpoint. But anyway, we won't get into the reasons that you're not here. It just, preseason for me is a lot less learning for us, more for the coaches than for us. But with that said, you at least get to see your starters play. Let's go back to the decision that Zach Taylor made. Obviously, it was to switch things up with the slow regular season starts, correct?
Yeah, it was definitely something where they wanted to see if they can get that change, get better work in earlier in the morning instead of the afternoon. We'll see if it's had the intended consequence. I think when you talk to guys in that locker room, the starters do appreciate being able to get some reps, get those snaps in the preseason, knowing they're going to play a little bit. So it has seemed to be welcomed. So far, it hasn't cost the Bengals any major injuries so far. So, you know, we'll see how it looks tonight. And I think it's going to be big because I think there are a lot of questions on this offensive line that need to be answered. They did not look great against the Philly backups. So I think if you're a Bengals fan, you'd like to have a better showing than you did maybe a week ago.
Interesting, because obviously with Burrow and Higgins and Chase out there and even Chase Brown back out there, they had their skill position players out there, but you said offensive line-wise they struggled.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing. I think even, you know, you heard Zach Taylor and maybe some of the guys in the locker room say that Lucas Patrick probably would have liked to have a rep back, and that right guard battle has really been unsettled. And, anytime it lingers this deep in the camp, that's generally not a good sign. You'd like that to be solidified so that starting five can get time together, because offensive line, it's very much a group dynamic, and you know, blocking is you need all five of them to be on the same page. So can that get settled? Can they figure out what that's going to look like moving forward? I think tonight's going to be, you know, another big indicator of where that battle stands.
Yeah, something that, for those of you listening, will be interesting, just to note, as Ben said, because this is a test for Washington's defense going up against Cincinnati's starters and very, very, you know, good starting skill position players, obviously. And the question mark for our team, Ben, heading into the year is really on defense, where they struggled at times last year. So we'll see the corners matched up against Higgins and Chase and a defensive front that looks new, a little bit new anyway, against an offensive line that struggled. So where is the Trey Hendrickson situation at this point? Because it heated up over the weekend with, once again, Cincinnati perhaps seeking a trade. I'll let you kind of update everybody on where it is.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we checked with sources throughout the course of the weekend, and there hasn't really been anything new. I know there's been a lot of reports out there, but the situation has kind of stood pat from the entire time. I think the Bengals have always been interested to see what kind of trades could potentially be out there. You know, they obviously granted Hendrickson the trade request early in the offseason to say, hey, listen, if you can go find something that makes sense for both of us, let's go ahead and do it. But, you know, the Bengals, you know, have maintained that, listen, we'd like to have Trey here. We believe that there's a contract that works best for both sides. Hendrickson has also held firm on wanting guaranteed money after the first year. And the Bengals, you know, have only done that for Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. I think there's an argument to be made. If you're Trey Hendrickson, say, listen, Ja'Marr's an all-pro player. You know, Joe is Joe. You know, I was an all-pro last year. I feel like I could probably warrant those guarantees. But when you look at Trey's age, that's kind of the big question mark. And, you know, John Kime and I wrote about that this morning for ESPN.com, kind of the situation of both him and Terry McLaurin holding in, looking for what, you know, looking for new deals. I think their age is definitely going to be a concern for both of their respective clubs. And you've got to figure out, okay, how do they fit in? And what have Terry and Trey done to get ready to, you know, if and when their situations get resolved ahead of week one?
What do you think the best offer Cincinnati's gotten since they turned him loose on seeking a trade, which was, you know, pre-draft?
Yeah, it's a good question. I have not heard anything concrete as to what. I know there's some reports out there as to what they may have received. I know that, you know, they're looking to get, you know, premium for Trey. They understand what he brings to the table. The issue is when you look at it, you know, even if you give up a first round pick for Trey, that could be an overpay for a team, because then you've got to look at the dynamics financially of what that means long term, especially if you're going to be able to get, you know, if that first round pick that you're giving up becomes a player who can give you great value throughout their rookie deal. You know, you're giving that up, and then you're also paying for Trey Hendrickson at, you know, not top of market, but definitely up there in terms of what edge rushers are currently getting paid. So that could be a steep price, and that could be the holdup. And then the Bengals, you know, if you're going to get a day two or even an early day three pick, you know, which may be more comparable for what you're looking for, you know, does that offset things? Is that too low of a price to get for Trey? I think that's what makes the whole trade situation tough. And for being honest, you know, that amount that you're, the capital that you're giving up, now the money that you would have allocated to get Trey Hendrickson done, those kind of deals are typically done much, much earlier in the offseason, before the draft even happens. So that way you can kind of get this sorted out and you can account for that moving forward. So I think there's a lot of obstacles for a potential trade to happen.
Here, many of us, or let me just speak for myself, I believe with Terry being under contract, he's going to play if he doesn't get a deal. He's under contract. He's entering his age 30 season. Wide receiver analytics, you know, post-age 31 are not favorable. He can't do himself any good unless the team completely falls apart without him in a game or two that he holds out in. I think he's going to play. What do you guys think will happen with Hendrickson, who still has a year left on his deal?
Well, Hendrickson's made it very clear that he does not intend to play on his current contract. And so I think where this is going to have to, you know, someone's going to have to budge. And, you know, the Bengals front office made this clear early in the offseason when I spoke to Bengals executive vice president Katie Blackburn at owners meetings. You know, she said that I think it's up to Trey to decide whether or not he wants to be happy. We feel like there's a number he should be happy at some point. That's going to be up to him, which was code for, listen, we're going to give him a deal whether he likes it or not. That's going to be the big question. And if you're the Bengals, I do understand maybe the hesitancy of giving guaranteed money after the first year for someone who will be turning 31 this season. And like you mentioned with the receiver metrics, they're very similar for edge rushers when you talk about their production after 30. Now, Trey is, you know, I think people around him will say, and the numbers are there to back this up, that Trey's probably a pretty young 30 for how many snaps he had early in his career in New Orleans before he got to Cincinnati and really took off. So I can see the argument from both sides there, but that's definitely the case. And, you know, maybe Trey gets the total value in the contract, but maybe not the guaranteed money. That could be a way to resolve this issue. And the Bengals have been known for having good cash flow. So, you know, is he willing to take that trade off? I think that's going to be the thing that maybe can get this over the line, or maybe we see this thing continue to drag into the season.
Ben Baby covers the Bengals for ESPN. You know, I love watching Cincinnati offensively. And last year, they were so horrific defensively. Everybody knows the story. And yet there were so many games that they actually had a chance to win offensively, both Baltimore games, even the Kansas City game to a certain degree. And that would have made all the difference in the world. No one wanted to play Cincinnati had they made the postseason and they got eliminated on the final Sunday of the year. So without Trey Hendrickson, I mean, would they have even won 9 games last year? And what would you think the prospect of a playoff season in 2025 be without him?
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's a really fascinating question. Obviously, you know, Trey Hendrickson's one of the best edge rushers in the NFL, has, you know, put up 17 and a half sacks in back-to-back years. I think his advanced analytics are even better than the sack numbers, if we're being honest. But when you look at, I think this defense, it's really going to be built around how good the secondary is going to be. I think, you know, having a good edge rusher is great, but the numbers show that if you can get a quarterback to hang onto the ball a little bit longer, that's going to make your whole front better. And I think it's going to be up to the cornerbacks and those safeties to really be better than they were last year. I think Cam Taylor-Britt is probably the most important person on that defense, you know, this season. You know, last year, Lou Anarumo had to kind of build a scheme around Cam Taylor-Britt and not playing as well as they thought he would going into last season. And so, you know, when they ended up playing more man at the end of the year, they won 5 straight games. I don't think that was a coincidence. You're seeing a lot of confidence from this group under defensive coordinator Al Golden. And the other aspect of this is, rookie Shamar Stewart has looked incredible.
Yeah, tell us about that. I was going to ask you about that. After the, you know, after the holdout and all the controversy, I've been reading that he's actually looked really good.
He's looked, you know, incredible. And I wondered how well he'd be able to put this past him. There was a lot of public acrimony that you normally don't see. And it's not always easy to get over that kind of stuff and start playing. But, you know, you ask guys in the locker room, you know, veterans, you know, Pro Bowlers, guys who have been around to other places, they've all told me this kid's the real deal. It is stunning to see what he does. And they think that he's got skill sets, you know, truthfully, that are probably one of only a handful of guys in the NFL currently have. You know, Orlando Brown, you know, spoke to him for a story that ran on ESPN. He said he has a chance to be one of the best in the league and, you know, one of the top 3 edge rushers potentially. And I said, are you kidding? I said, that's a little strong. Like, we haven't even seen this kid play. He goes, no. The traits he has are so unique. I mean, he told me, he said, listen, he's going to beat you with speed. I know it. And yet he still does it anyways. He's a kid who has no pass rush moves and has still found a way to be disruptive against pretty good offensive, you know, pretty good offensive tackles. So I think that they are able to, you know, if they don't have Trey, I think they could get enough pressure from, you know, from Shamar, Joseph Osai, you know, came on strong at the end of last year. So that does, you know, Stewart coming on has made this a little bit more interesting. And, you know, to Trey's credit, he's been there at every practice, you know, trying since he's been, you know, returned from his holdout and has really coached up the young guys a ton. I think between every drill, he's always talking to somebody, helping them out with their pass rush moves and what have you. And I think the younger guys have appreciated that as well.
Shamar Stewart picked 17th in the first round out of Texas A&M. For those of you who are forgetting from the draft, he was certainly one of those controversial guys because the production was like, you know, a sack and a half in 3 straight years, despite the freakish athletic ability. Held out, there was a lot of stuff, but now is in camp and is a pass-rushing defensive end. All right, last one for you. I watched the quarterback show on Netflix. Did you watch it?
I did, yes.
So I came away with, I mean, I'm kind of, I love Joe Burrow to begin with, but I came away thinking that he was the most interesting part of that show. And I want to ask somebody who has covered his career. He came off to me as sneaky, sneaky, like high IQ. Am I right about that or not?
I, I think that Joe is very fascinated with things. Science and nature are things he's very, very into. I think that started to come across in the fossil show. I've talked to him extensively about time travel, and he has done a lot of research into what it would take for that to occur. It's something he actually talked about in a radio interview before in the pre-draft process, and I brought it up to him a few years later, and he was like, oh, no, I've done a lot of the research. I think he enjoys, like, nature documentaries and all that. So that's just his inclination is in that way. And so we saw that with his fossils talk. And I think that Joe is interesting because he has a lot of interests that are very non-football related. You know, a guy, I can talk to him about the UFC forever. You know, he really enjoys that a good amount. Obviously, we all know he likes Batman now, but I think he really is into the whole Christopher Nolan filmography. So, you know, I think he's got some things that make him pretty relatable to people. And I think that's what, you know, has found him, you know, people have found endearing since he's been in the league.
Well, maybe the word is more eclectic than high IQ. I don't know. Maybe he's both. I mean, I just found him to be easily the most interesting part of that show. We had already seen Kirk from the one before. Kirk is, you know, beloved by all of his teammates. I think that was a big surprise. And Jared Goff, you know, it was more about his wife than it was even him. But I enjoyed the Netflix quarterback series this summer because of Burrow, who really is great. Now, the exit, I guess, with you is this. You know, we've talked a lot here after one season of Jaden Daniels in terms of where he is on the list. I think he's easily the best quarterback in the NFC. I really believe that, and I think he is top five. But where do you put Burrow?
I think I would put him in that two. You know, you can take your dealer's choice, two through four, if you want to make an argument for Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Burrow behind Mahomes.
Right.
I think I would say that's pretty much where you would sit there. I think that last year he had his best year by far. I think you'd like to see him continue to have, you know, especially when you look at our total QBR, you know, have him put up the same kind of numbers last year that matched what Josh and Lamar did. I'm very curious to see what Mahomes does in Kansas City. I have a lot of questions about that offense. I feel like, you know, Mahomes, you know, quite frankly, has the potential to be the greatest quarterback of all time in terms of how he plays the game and what he does. I don't know of anybody who really can produce that at a high level. Dan Marino, maybe, from a pure passing standpoint. Yeah. Peyton Manning had that in his bag as well. Just didn't have the same championships as Brady. But that's where I would put Joe. But, you know, listen, I have said for years, I think, talking about greatest of all time, if I had to have anybody in the history of the NFL identify quarterback, I want it to be Cliff Kingsbury. He has hit on virtually everybody he's ever had ever since, you know, you go back to his time at Texas Tech. You know, he talked about, you know, Zach Taylor's talked about Cliff being a guy at Houston who found Johnny Manziel before A&M even offered him. And so I think Cliff's natural eye for quarterback evaluation is by far the best that we've seen in all of football, at the college level, pro level, what have you. So seeing Jaden's success is not shocking in the slightest.
I lied. One more. How much will Cincinnati's starters play tonight?
I think they'll probably go a quarter, give or take. Initially, it sounded like they could go for a little bit longer, but I think that we'll see them, you know, get a couple series. If they have extended drives like they did in the preseason opener, you know, they'll get probably two drives because they'll span a couple, you know, that'll span a quarter roughly. But if they have a three and out, I could see them going maybe a little bit into the second. So it'll just be a game feel, and just we'll see where Zach Taylor feels that they've gotten the run they need.
At Ben_baby on X on Twitter. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. Hope you're well.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good talking to you.
Yep, Ben Baby, everybody, Cincinnati. Yeah, Joe Burrow was, if you haven't watched that, what is it, 8 episodes, 9 episodes, something like that, quarterback. You know, they did quarterback this year. They did wide receiver last year. 2 years ago, they did quarterback. Netflix does pretty much everything really well. But Burrow's an interesting guy, that is for sure. He's also a great quarterback, and we're going to get him, you know, first two drives against Philadelphia right down the field last week. He was 9 for 10, two drives, two touchdowns, and then he left the game. I think it was Jake Browning who came in. But 9 for 10, 123 yards, two touchdowns, a near-perfect passer rating. again, against Philadelphia's backups primarily, what can you learn? Who knows? But Chase, 4 catches, 77 yards. Higgins didn't get targeted, I don't think, in the game. And they had Chase Brown back, a back that, you know, was really playing well before he got hurt last year, late in the season, or maybe it was middle of the season. All right, up next, Ben Standing will jump on. He was the first to say last week he had a hunch that Brian Robinson Jr. might not be on the week one roster. And sure enough, the reports over the weekend, including Ben's, he's on the trade block. He'll join us next.
All right, here's what's happening on this Monday, August 18th. Per Jordan Schultz, the Washington Commanders are listening to offers on Brian Robinson Jr. This news coming after groundswell of preseason support for 7th-round pick Jacory Bill Kroski-Merritt and veteran Jeremy McNichols. Plus, Cliff Kingsbury said prior to this weekend that he likes the running back room a lot and thinks that every guy has a place in this league. After being DFA'd by the Washington Nationals, Nathaniel Lowe is hammering out a deal with the Boston Red Sox. The 30-year-old finds a new home prior to the playoff push, and the Red Sox get an answer to their season-long questions at first base. Plus, the Nats, they fall to the Phillies by a score of 11-9. Not a great day for Mitch Parker after giving up 6 runs in just 1 2/3 innings, but the Nats were able to tie it at 6 in the third inning and got Aaron Nola off the bump. But the Phillies pull it away and close it out to knot the series at 2 games apiece. Plus, after months of trying to hammer out a deal, the Cincinnati Bengals are reportedly listening to trade calls on Trey Hendrickson, according to reports. The teams that have inquired are the Panthers, Browns, and Colts. Plus, the Commanders, they will take on the Cincinnati Bengals tonight in preseason week 2. Dan Quinn says he's excited to get the boys going and looking to get a few series out of JD5 and the starters. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be on the call. That'll be at 8 p.m. on ESPN. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's Office throughout football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.